Amen.
The Virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us.
Alleluia.
According to Matthew. This is how Jesus Christ came to be born. His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came to live together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a man of honor and wanting to spare her publicity, decided to divorce her informally. He had made up his mind to do this when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she has conceived what is in her by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you must name him Jesus, because he is the one who is to save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill the words spoken by the Lord through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did what the angel of the Lord had told him to do. He took his wife to his home. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have four pieces of scripture there that we read, and in every one of them there is a single common word: David. Isaiah calls the king House of David because he is the inheritor of the promises that God would make David a house which would never fail, a dynasty which would endure. And Ahaz at that moment thought that the dynasty of David was about to die out, and it was through his own fault that this was about to happen. Ahaz was a rotten king of Israel. He was not a very good man. He was a very bad Jew. And when he was threatened by his neighbors to the north to try to force him to ally with them against the great power of Assyria, Ahaz did a very stupid thing. He wrote secretly to the king of Assyria and exposed the plot, trying to make an alliance with the superpower against his own neighbors. And one of those neighbors was the northern king of Israel. So, a very stupid man. And Isaiah knew that he was making great mistakes, because Isaiah knew that Israel can only stand by God, not by earthly alliances or politicking. And so, Isaiah was compelled to watch as Ahaz began to behave like a Babylonian, and giving away the influence and independence that he had into the hands of this great empire. Ahaz even went so far as to offer his own son as a sacrifice to the Babylonian god Merodach, who used to devour children in this way, human sacrifice being part of their tradition. And for the king of Israel to sacrifice his son and heir, and then to lose his throne, would be a devastating end for the house of David. And Isaiah asks him to turn back to God and to ask for a sign of God's favor. And Ahaz is too depressed and beaten to do so. "I will not put the Lord God to the test," bears. Isaiah says, the Lord will give you a sign. The maiden is with child and will give birth to a son, and you will know that God is still with you. New heir to take up the promises to David is on his way. The heir whom Isaiah calls Emmanuel will be King Hezekiah, who will restore the fortunes of Israel. That's where that ancient prophecy comes from. We don't know who the maiden was. Presumably a young princess of the house who was perhaps recently married. But an heir is on the way, beyond all hope. The fortunes of the house will be restored. In the reading from Romans in the middle, we find Paul beginning his greatest work by talking about Jesus of Nazareth in two ways. First, he talks about him as, according to the flesh, a son of David. And then he says, according to the Spirit, proclaimed Son of God in all his power through the resurrection from the dead. And those are two generations of Jesus, one from David and one from God. And both of them are very important. All through his life, Jesus was called the Son of David. People shouted after him in the streets, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he talked all his life about a kingdom that was coming. And even at the end of his earthly ministry, his disciples asked him, has the time come for you to restore the kingdom to Israel? He died wearing a crown under the superscription, this is the King of the Jews. And over his baptism, the Father spoke the words which are spoken at the coronation of the King. You are my son, today I have become your father. And yet in the resurrection, Jesus is more than a son of David, a son of God. And these two ways of looking at Jesus are both important to us. He would inherit and fulfill all the promises that were treasured by the Jewish family. But first of all, he would bring down the life of God to the earth, to lift up the world and all its peoples, to lift the whole of the human race into the life of God himself. And it nearly came to grief, the whole plan, because as Son of God is coming into the world, and Joseph, who is to give him the name Son of David, Joseph is about to call off the marriage. And if he'd done this, Jesus would have been born without a name, without a stake in the people of Israel. And the Gospel tells us that it was according to the flesh that Joseph was going to do this. He was a decent man. And he thought that as a decent man, this was the right thing to do. He wasn't being cruel or harsh, but simply just. And God then intervenes. The story of the angel in the dream, lifting Joseph up from being a decent man to being a cooperator with God. And he calls him Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as well, because she has conceived what is in her by the Holy Spirit. According to the Spirit, proclaimed Son of God. And Joseph awakes and rises to the situation. He lets the word that has been spoken to him take flesh in deeds. He did what the angel told him to do and took Mary to his home. In this moment, the human being let the word of God become flesh and gave him his earthly inheritance, Son of David,
So humanity meeting God in the mystery of the Incarnation. And that is how we should think of the feast that we want to celebrate tomorrow. Think of it as a moment where we rise from ordinary humanity and cooperate with God so that the Word can become flesh. And we won't do this by consulting our human nature alone. As decent people, we might make a celebration together. But God wants something more of us than just being decent people. We, therefore, will find our celebration, our cause for joy, not by going along with all the other decent people to where good food is cheaper and laying in plenty of what human beings need. We won't even do it by being as nice as human beings know how to be to one another. We will do it by opening our doors and windows to let in the Spirit of God, who speaks from on high and calls us to welcome his word and to let it become flesh in us. And these deeds which are required for us to receive the joy of Christmas are the ones which go beyond our mere humanity. So I call to your attention today those people who humanly are in no state to celebrate. The newly married, of whom there are several families in our parish. The parents of a child who lived only a few days. Good and dear friends who have lost someone they love. People who are facing great changes, as Joseph did, ready to accept the word of God, to lift them up, and to make them celebrate with a divine joy which doesn't depend on human means of support. Let us stand and proclaim our faith. We believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, come from God.